God is good. I know the presence of the Lord is here. I've felt His presence already. But more than the food, more than the good feeling, I want to hear what the Lord has to say to us today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. It's powerful. Man, it'll help us coming and going. It'll bring us in and help us to come out of some things. It'll do things that we cannot do on our own. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Owens, Rhode Island, the youth president. I believe you are, right? Youth president. We're having a 5 o'clock youth event this evening. Amen. See Sister Caitlin for more information on that. Brother Owens, would you come and would you preach the word of Jesus? Would you welcome him?
Praise the Lord, everybody. Why don't we give a hand clap of praise to the Lord? Amen. If you're thankful to be here this morning, why don't you just give God a hand clap of appreciation? Amen. You may be seated. Thankful to be here today. Amen. I think this is my third time this year at Apostolic Lighthouse, and I'm no longer a stranger or a guest. Thank you so much for having me. Once again, I think I was here January, so the winter, June and the summer, and now here in the fall. And God is so very good. If I can just have a water. Thank you so much. And I just want to take a moment to honor your pastor, Brother Greeley. Why don't you give him and his family a hand clap of appreciation if you love your pastor. Amen. And to the leadership and to everybody that is here, I want to give a special welcome and honor to the guests that are here today. If you are a first-time visitor, welcome. And I just want to let you know that you have found the right place this Sunday morning. Amen. Give honor to my church back home. I have not been home in quite a while, and I give them honor and my pastor, and love them and appreciate them. I'm not here without their love and support over the years, and I give honor to my Lord and Savior. Amen. Without Him, none of this is possible. Amen. Why don't we turn our attention to the book of Genesis today? I believe the Lord has something very great that He wants to do over these next few days. And if we would just allow God, as Sister Greeley said, it's not always easy, but if we would just surrender ourselves to the Lord, our will, our purpose, everything, our problems, whatever we've come here with, our opinions, our agendas, if we would just surrender all of that to the Lord, not just this morning, but over the next few days, I believe that God wants to do something very special, not just for this church, but for you as an individual. I believe God is already here. If we're here, then the Lord is here. Amen. And I believe that if God is here, anything can happen. And I believe God wants to do something for us this All Nations Revival Week. Genesis 12, we'll start at verse 1. A familiar story for most of us. I'm sure many of us have heard of Abraham. If you have not, you will hear about him this morning. The Bible says this: Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. And I will make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all, somebody say all, the families, or another translation for that word families is nations of the earth will be blessed. He says to Abraham, in you or in your seed, all of the nations of the earth will be blessed. If you want to just put your Bible aside, I want to talk to us this moment about this topic, the blessing of Abraham. Why don't we just lift our hands and just pray one more time. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your house today. God, I pray that you would show yourself faithful. God, I pray that you would confirm your word with signs following. I pray that you'd anoint my mind, my lips of clay. Lord, anoint our ear. Give us ear to hear what your spirit would speak this morning, a heart to receive your word. God, I pray that you'd reach somebody right where they stand today. God, that you'd fill somebody with the gift of the Holy Ghost, that the blessing that was given to Abraham would show itself and manifest itself in this house this morning. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your presence. We love you. We give you the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, why don't we clap our hands as we're seated this morning. Amen. Somebody said the blessing of Abraham. Very early on in Scripture, we see this figure come into play, and he is talked about through a good portion of the book of Genesis, and he's a founding, a very essential piece to Scripture as a whole. I believe we see it talked about, and he's referenced often in the New Testament as well. But I think that it's important for us to understand the background of Abraham before we understand everything else that comes attached to him and to his lineage. Abraham was from this place called the Ur of Chaldees. We don't have to remember that. You don't have to know how to spell it, because I don't even know if I know how to spell it. Amen. But it's important to understand the context of where Abraham was from, because when God comes to Abraham and he speaks to him and he says, I want you to get up and I want you to go from where you are, leave your family, leave everything that is familiar to you, leave everything that you are comfortable with. He said, I just want you to get up and I want you to go. Leave everything behind and go to a place that I have prepared for you. You got to understand, God doesn't really give him very clear direction other than that. He doesn't tell him where he's taking him. He doesn't tell him what the journey is going to look like. He doesn't tell him what the end of the journey is going to look like. He just simply says to get up, leave everything that you are familiar with, everything that you're comfortable with, and go. But there's something that's deeper than that there, and it's this, is that if we really look into the background of Abraham and the place that he is from and his family, we would understand that Abraham did not have a relationship with God before this moment here. The Ur of Chaldees was a Mecca at that time for pagan worship. The Bible even tells us in Scripture, I believe it's in Genesis, that Abraham's father was a pagan worshiper. He was an idolater. And we could assume, if it's okay, that Abraham was raised in that environment, that Abraham himself probably worshipped pagan gods, because that is how he was raised. The same way us as children, if we're raised in the church, we are raised to serve Christ. Amen. So it's fair to assume that Abraham was not a follower of God, but he was a follower of pagan gods, because his father was a pagan worshiper and his family was a pagan worshiper. But God visits him despite where he is from, despite his background, despite the lifestyle that he lives. God still visits him, just like God still visits us or has visited us. It does not matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter, if we can say this today, the nation that you've come from or the culture that you were raised in or the background of your life. It doesn't matter if your dad was a preacher or your dad was a drug addict. It doesn't matter if your mom was a prayer warrior or your mom was a partier. None of those things matter to God, but what matters is that God visited us. There was a time of visitation where God came in and showed himself to us. That God came just like he did to Abraham and he spoke a word to us. But then we had a choice. We had a decision to make. Am I going to obey the voice of God? And Abraham is in this same situation. He has a choice to make. God comes and speaks to him. He says, I want you to leave the place of familiarity. I want you to leave the place of comfort, the place that you were raised, the place that you know. I want you to leave all of that. And not just the place, but the people that are there. I want you to leave every aspect of your life and just get up and go to the place that I'm calling you to. Can I talk to you today and say this, that in order for there to be the blessing of God in your life, there must first be a separation. In order to activate the blessings of God in your life, the only way that Abraham was to receive the blessing of God, he must first obey the word of God.
And that word called for separation. Separation in the context of our life is separation from sin. Separation from the things of this world. Separation from the things that are familiar to us. Separation from the things that are comfortable to us. Separation from the things that are not pleasing to God. Because we cannot hold on to the things of this world and embrace the things of God at the same time. We cannot hold on to the things of sin and think that we can step into what God has prepared for us. But if we want the blessings of God in our life, if we want to inherit the promises of God, then there must first be a separation. A separation from this world, the things that we are familiar with. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 6 and 17, he says, "Wherefore come out from among them. Be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." And then he says this, "And I will receive you." But then there's something that is attached to that. There is a promise, a blessing, if you would, that is attached to that. He says, "And I will be a father unto you. And you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord." God does not just call us out of something to go into nothing, but God calls us out of sin so that we can go into a covenant relationship with Him. See, Abraham had a covenant relationship with God, but in order for that to happen, Abraham had to leave something in order to step into something. He had to leave the place of familiarity. He had to walk away from a worldly relationship to step into godly covenant relationship. And I've come to talk to somebody today. It doesn't matter where you are at in your walk with God. It doesn't matter if this is your first time. But I believe that we are living constantly in a place of separation. The closer that we get to God, the further we must separate from the things that are familiar to us. The closer that we walk with God, the closer that we get to Him, the closer that we get to the cross, the further that we have to go from the things of the world, the things of sin, the things that are pleasing to our flesh. Well, preacher, I've been living for God my whole life, but if you want to get closer to God, there's going to be something that is greater that is required of you. Amen? So He calls them out of this place of separation, but it does not come with nothing. He says that if you are to do this, that I will bless you, that I will make of thee a great nation. We read in other scripture, He says that your seed will be innumerable, more than the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. That is the blessing that I have for you if you just obey my word. But then He goes on and says that I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And this is really where I'm going to and leading to today. He says this, "And in thee shall all the nations of the world be blessed." He says all the nations. We continue on in Genesis 15, 5 through 6. He says, "And God brought him forth and said, Look now towards heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be, as I already had said. And he believed in the Lord." Somebody say he believed. Somebody say he had faith. "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Faith brings forth righteousness. Belief in God and in the Word of God brings forth righteousness. Not only did the blessings of Abraham come to him and to his seed because of his separation, but the blessings also came to Abraham as a result of his faith. Let me say that again. The blessings of God comes when we act in faith. What is faith? Faith is this. It is the substance of things hoped for, but it's the evidence of things not seen. Which means this. Let me put it in 2025 terms. It means this. It means to believe on something even though you cannot see it. To say, you know what? God spoke this and I believe it even though it has not happened. That God promised this and though I don't see it, I believe the Lord that it will happen. That God promised that my family would be saved. And even though I don't see it, I know that it will happen. Brother, I stand with you. You keep on praying in faith that though your wife might not be sitting here today, faith would say that one day God will save her, that God will save my family, that God will save my friends, that God will save my children. Why? Because when God speaks a word, I have faith to believe it will happen. Amen. If you believe that, clap your hands. So Abraham is known as the father of faith. But why does that happen? Because when God spoke something to Abraham, you see throughout Scripture that Abraham obeys. He doesn't, let me backtrack though, because Abraham's not always perfect. I wish we could say that. Abraham is not always perfect. God promised him a seed, but then he has a child with Hagar. Abraham was not always perfect. God told Abraham to separate yourself from your family, and he did, but then he brought along his nephew Lot. He wasn't always perfect. He didn't always do everything in perfect alignment to what God spoke, but he always showed himself faithful. And he always made correction when correction was needed. And can I talk to you and say this, is that when God speaks a word, you're not always going to be perfect. You're not always going to get it right. I wish I could say that we would, but let's just be real. We're human. You're not always going to be perfect. You're not always going to do everything just the way it's supposed to be done. You're going to falter. You're going to fail. But that is not what determines the outcome. What determines the outcome is what you do when you fail. What you do when you fall. Do you fall away from God or do you fall towards God? Do you pick yourself back up and say, you know what? I know I've messed up, but I know there's grace. I know there's mercy. I know God's promises are still intact. I know the blessings of God are not canceled out in my life just because I've fallen, just because I've sinned, just because I've messed up. But God is faithful enough, as the Bible says, that He is faithful to forgive every mistake that I've made. God is faithful to forgive. God's blood is greater than any sin, any failure, any mistake. Why? Because God did not die so that you can go to hell. God did not die so that you can live in sin. But God died so that you can inherit the blessing of Abraham, that you can inherit eternal life. Amen. So you might fall, but I've come to preach and tell you today, get back up. You might have fallen and you might be still living in your guilt and shame, but I've come to tell you that God's promise, God's blessings are still intact for you. See, I'm just going to go. The greatest lie of the adversary when we sin is this, is that God's done with you. God doesn't want anything to do with you. That you're just, you messed up. God's promises are canceled out. God's plan is canceled out. God's blessings are canceled out. If that was true, I would not be standing here today. But can I just say that me standing before you is evidence, it's a testimony that when God, my God, somebody hear me, that God can still use you despite your mess, despite your background, despite your failures, despite your lack, despite your insufficiencies, God can still use you. God can still anoint you. God can still bless your life. Why? Because the Bible says this, that God is not a man that he would lie, nor is he the son of man that he would repent. What does that mean? The word repentance means just to think differently, to change your mind. Which, in essence, says this. Not only is God not a man that he would lie, but he's not a son of man that he would change his mind. Meaning that when God determines something about you, he will never change his mind about it. It doesn't matter what you do. God has not changed his mind. God's blessings and promises are still intact for you. And that is what we see portrayed in the life of Abraham, is that despite his failure, God confirms time and time again that my promise, the covenant that I made with you from the very beginning, is still intact. Even after he goes and essentially says, you know what, I'm going to just take things into my own hand. And he goes and has a child with Hagar, the maid servant. Even despite that, God comes back to him and says, you know what, Let me just tell you this. You're stupid. That wasn't the plan. I know you thought it was the plan, Abraham, but that's not the plan. But he says, because you messed up doesn't mean it's over. He says, I'm still going to bless you. Your wife Sarah is still going to give birth. And through that seed, my covenant will remain. And he not only just says, it's not just a temporary covenant, but if we read, God says that it's an everlasting covenant. Even in the midst of Abraham's failure, God still comes back to him and says that my covenant is still intact. The promise, the blessing that I made to you is still intact. Can I just talk to somebody? Whatever God promised you, it's still intact. Whatever God, my God, whatever plan God has for you, it's still intact. Can I just talk to a visitor for right now? You are here because God brought you here. Yes, somebody gave you this. Maybe somebody handed this to you and you looked at it and you looked at the time and you said, well, this looks good. This looks interesting. But the only reason you're here is because there was something deeper than just a conscious thought that said this looks good. But it was the Spirit of God that was working on you. But whether you recognize it or not, the Spirit of God was talking to you about coming here today. You might have saw the flyer and saw that there was food, but that wasn't what brought you here. It wasn't the appeal of anything else, but it was the Spirit of God that began to work on you. It's been working on you longer than you may realize. God has been speaking to you and dealing with you about having a covenant relationship with Him. Why? Because this world is not our home, that we are just pilgrims in this world. This world is worse, I believe, than it ever has been before. There is more wickedness. There is more evil. There is chaos on all sides. There is wars that we don't even know about. And there is sin that the Bible says will wax greater and greater. There's a deep level of perversion in this world that I don't think we've ever seen before. And we can just look no further than the United States to see that. And God is working on you. Why? Because He does not want you to remain here. But God wants to have a relationship with you because it's through that relationship that you will one day be with Him in paradise. It's through that relationship, that blessing, that covenant promise that God made thousands of years ago to Abraham. It is that same promise that God wants to give to you today so that you don't have to remain here. As things get worse in this world, when God comes back, He wants to take you with Him. When you go on into eternity, God wants to ensure that it's with Him. And Him alone. Not God. Let me just say this. God does not want you to go to hell. It was never the intention of God for any man to go to hell. He said that it was that all would come to repentance. And that is why from the very beginning of time, it says that He was the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world. Before they ever even ate of the tree, God already had a plan. God already had a covenant in alignment that one day would begin to manifest itself over the generations that would begin to unfold, starting with Abraham. But it was already a part of the plan. When humanity fell into sin, God was not caught by surprise. Because He was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Meaning that there was already a plan intact. And that plan has been activated. And that plan is in operation today. Because God is reaching for somebody today. He's reaching for you. He's calling you because God wants to have a relationship with you. Think about that. The God of all creation, the only true and wise God, wants to have a relationship with you. What an honor, what a privilege that is, that the God of the universe, He doesn't want you to just be a slave or a servant, but He wants you to be a son and a daughter, that you can call Him Father, and He can call you son, or He can call you daughter. What an honor that it is, that we can be at this place today, at Apostolic Lighthouse, and there is a God that is reaching down, speaking through me today, saying, I just want to have a relationship with you. I want to know you, and I want you to know me. I want my blessings to be upon your life. Galatians 3:16 tells us this. And I'm bringing this. We walk over time. What is this blessing of Abraham? What is this blessing of Abraham? It's not a blessing of a nice car. You might have one, but it's not that. It's not a blessing of a big house. It's not a blessing of prosperity in the secular sense. It's not the blessing of a good marriage. The blessing of Abraham is not the blessing of riches and gold and whatever else we can have in this world. It's not a monetary blessing. See, the world chases after blessings, but the wrong ones. They chase after intellectual blessing, greater degrees and greater pedigree. They chase after greater promotion at their jobs and greater riches and nicer cars and nicer homes and all of those things. But that is not what the blessing of Abraham is. See, God, I'll be honest with you. The Lord wants us to be blessed in this earth. I believe that. But if the Lord has us to be dirt poor the rest of our life, He's fine with that, because there's a greater blessing than just a financial one. Whether we live in a mansion or whether we live in a hut, really, God doesn't, that's not what's important to God. What's important is that you live in the mansion on the other side of glory. It's not about whether you live in the mansion on this side of heaven, but it's about whether or not you have a mansion on the other side of heaven. It's not about whether or not you have gold in this earth, but about if you walk on streets of gold in the next earth. So the blessing of Abraham is not one of monetary value. It's not one of physical value, but it is a spiritual blessing. And God speaks and He says this. He says, Abraham, He said, through thy seed. He said, through your seed, all the nations, every family, every kindred, every tribe, every tongue, all 200 plus countries and territories will be blessed because of your seed. And we read in Galatians 3:16, Paul tells us what that blessing is, or what that seed is. He says, now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. But get this, it says this, I'm reading in a different translation. He says this, he does not say and to seeds, plural, as referring to many, but he says seed as to one. And to your seed. And then he tells us what that seed is. The seed is not Isaac. The seed is not Jacob. The seed is not Moses. The seed is not David. The seed is not any of those people that we love and read about. But he says this, and to your seed, that is Christ. He says, the seed that I prophesied about to Abraham thousands of years ago is Jesus Christ. So he says, let me take out the word seed and put in the word Jesus. He says, through Jesus, all the nations of the world will be blessed. He doesn't just say through your seed, but he says through Jesus Christ, all the nations, every tribe, every kindred, every tongue. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. He said, through Jesus, you will be blessed. Come on, he said you'll be blessed in the United States. He said you'll be blessed in Africa, in Asia, in Europe, in Australia. And come on, somebody, in South America. It does not matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter where you... My God, it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what your nationality, food might be. But he said that through me, you will be blessed. Come on, exceedingly blessed, abundantly blessed, above all you can ask, above all you can think, above all you can pray for. God said, through me, you will be blessed. Come on, somebody, if you're thankful for the blessing, why don't you just shout amen? Come on, I remember the day that I received the blessing of Abraham. It changed my life. It transformed my way of being. Come on, it changed everything about me. The way I thought, the things I did, the people I hung out with. Come on, there's a blessing for somebody in this room today that will change your life. You might be in here bound, but the blessing of Abraham will set you free. You might be weak, but the blessing of Abraham will give you strength. You might be lost today, but the blessing of Abraham will save you from your sin. It will ensure you that one day you can see Jesus face to face. And he goes on, Paul writes in verse 22, he says this, but the scripture has shut up everyone under sin, so that the promise by faith, somebody say by faith, Abraham did not receive the blessing only by anything else but faith. If you don't believe, you don't receive. If you don't believe, you don't receive. Faith is the key to receiving the blessing of Abraham. So that promise by faith in Jesus might be given to those that believe. And verse 26 says this, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you, ready? See, here's the problem with mainstream Christianity. It says that you just have to have faith in the aspect of just saying, I believe. But that's not what faith is. Because the Bible says this, that faith without works is dead. So you can talk faith, but if you don't live faith, it's dead faith. Let me say that slower. You can have faith, but if you don't live faith, it's dead faith. There's I would say, two key elements to faith. It's this. It's that we speak faith, but then we live faith. Does that make sense? That we talk faith, but we also walk faith. So that we proclaim, yes, I believe, but we also live it out through our actions. Because the Bible says that if we just speak it, but we don't walk in it, then it's dead faith. And dead faith is no good. But we have to have live faith. So there's components to it. And mainstream Christianity would say, well, you just have to say, well, I believe that the Lord died for me. And that's good enough. If only it was so simple. Think about that. The houses, this house would be, it's a tremendous turnout today. And I thank God for that, because I can see the growth that's happening in this church. And I believe that one day God's going to fill every pew, that we're going to be shoulder to shoulder in here. Amen. But can I just say this? The reason that a lot of churches aren't packed shoulder to shoulder, it's not really us. It's because there's too many people that are looking for a convenient Christianity. And convenient Christianity is that. It's that all I have to say is, well, I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins and I accept him, and that's it. And there's your ticket to heaven. And it doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter how I live. It doesn't matter about any of that. I just accept the Lord as my personal Savior. If only it was that easy. If only, let's just be real. I think living for God is easy. It gets easier as you go. But if it was only as easy as just saying, well, I believe, and that's it. It doesn't matter what you do. But guess what? Belief in God brings forth obedience to the Word of God. And the Word of God does not just stop at saying, I just speak it, but there's more to it. Verse 26 says this once again, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. But ready? 27 says this, for all of you who were baptized into Christ. So yes, you've got to have faith in Christ, but you have to be baptized into Christ, having clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, get this here, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. The promise that all nations of the world would be blessed through Abraham's seed, once again, is prophetic of Jesus Christ. That all people, not just Jews, but Gentiles as well, could have a covenant relationship with Christ. I'm telling you what the blessing of Abraham is this. The Jews are physical descendants of Abraham. But as we have read here in Galatians, we are spiritual descendants of Abraham. Why? Because we have received the blessing of Abraham through Jesus Christ. I want to make sense to you today. That we are not the descendants of Abraham because we were Jews that were born in that lineage. But we are descendants or heirs according to the promise. Why? Because we have been baptized into Christ. It's a spiritual inheritance. And if I could today, the blessing of Abraham is this, that all people, not just the Jews, but everybody, every nation, every tribe, every tongue, can have a covenant relationship with Christ, can be filled with His Spirit, and can have access to salvation. So once again, I speak to you and say this, that the blessing of Abraham is not a physical blessing, but a spiritual one. And it is this, it is that one day we received the Spirit of God, and we stepped into a covenant relationship with Him, that we were baptized in His name, and we were clothed in Christ, and now we have become heirs according to the promise. John 1:12 says this, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Relationship, the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name. Where does the power come from? This is where I wanted to get to today, is this right here. We already talked about it this morning in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, the Bible tells us that they were in the upper room, one accord, one place. We heard it already today. I won't repeat everything. But the Bible says that the promise of the Holy Spirit fell in that room, and it filled all 120 of them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But guess what? It wasn't just something that they said, well, now I've got it. But there was evidence attached to it, because the Bible says this, that they began to speak in another tongue as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Come on, somebody, hear me today. How do you embrace, how do you receive the blessing of Abraham? Well, I'll start right there. When you get on your knees and repent, and you make a decision that I'm not, my God, that I'm all done with sin, that I'm all done with this world, and I just want to live for God. When you find a place of repentance, and God fills you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the Bible says that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So when you receive the gift, my God, when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, you become a son and a daughter of God. You become, my God, you step into a covenant relationship with Him. When you receive the Holy Ghost. It was 120 in the upper room. But here's the thing, they were just Jews. They were all Jews in that upper room. They were there. It was the Feast of Pentecost. They were there, and all in Jerusalem. And they were coming from different nations, but they were still all Jews. Because over the generations, I know this is boring history, but over the generations, Jews were scattered. They were scattered abroad in the known world, and they would come to Jerusalem. It would be pilgrim holidays, and they would come. But in the upper room was all Jews. But God didn't stop in the upper room, because the Bible goes on in Acts chapter 10, and we find Paul is in the house of Cornelius, who is a Roman centurion. Cornelius is not a Jew. Cornelius, I want to understand, a Gentile is anybody outside of Jewish culture. So we are all Gentiles. Look to your neighbor and say, you're a Gentile. Congratulations. So he doesn't just stop, because this is what Jesus tells them. He says, go into Jerusalem. Tarry, wait until you be endued with power from on high. But then he says this. He wants them to preach the gospel starting in Jerusalem. and then in Judea, and then in Samaria, and then into the uttermost parts of the world. Meaning that there was an exponential growth in a worldwide sense that would begin to happen. So yes, Jerusalem was the epicenter. The place of Judaism was the epicenter, but it did not stop there. Because if it stopped there, then God would be a liar. Because God didn't say that through your seed the Jews would be blessed. He said through your seed the nations of the world would be blessed. Every tribe, every kindred, come on, every background, everything would be blessed through the seed of Abraham. So if God just stopped at the Jews, then God would be a liar. Why am I talking about this? Because I want us to understand why you're here. It's important for you to understand why you're here. And in Acts chapter 10, we find Peter is speaking in Cornelius' house. And the same Spirit, the Bible says, while he yet spake those words, while he was teaching to them about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that they began to speak in another tongue. The Holy Ghost fell in that room, in a Gentile's home, in a Roman centurion's home. The Holy Ghost fell in there, and it filled them, and they received the promise of the Holy Spirit. But get ready. And the Bible says this, that those that were with Peter were astonished. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was poured out also upon the Gentiles. And it was in that moment that God confirmed His word that this is for every nation. As we stand here on this Sunday morning for All Nations Sunday, we're not here so we can just try the different cuisines of where we are from. But we are here on All Nations Sunday because there was a, my God, because there was a God one day that died for your sins so that you can have a relationship with Him. And there was a God that ascended into heaven but said, I will not stay there. I will not leave you, but my Spirit will come back to you. And it wasn't many days after that the Spirit of God was poured out. And all these years later, the Spirit of God is still being poured out in the world. Why don't we stand today? All these years later, 2,000 years later, the blessing of Abraham is still being poured out in this world. God is still filling people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I prayed on my way here today. Can I just be honest with you? If I leave this weekend and God doesn't do mighty works, I feel like it's in vain. Maybe not for you, but for me. I prayed already this on my way here on this drive. I said, Lord, I'm going to trust in you that you're here to fill somebody with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I saw Brother Greeley open up this tank earlier. God, I know that you're here to push somebody to, my God, to make a choice to go down in the waters of baptism. Why? Because God wants a relationship with us. Why? Because there have been people that have been praying for you. Why? Because God is reaching for you. Why? Because God died for you so that you can have a relationship with Him.
Yes, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
But that relationship does not happen just because. Let me say it like this. The relationship will not happen the way you want it to. There is one way. That's it. One way. Somebody say one way. Bible says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There is only one way to receive the blessing of Abraham. There is only one way to become heirs of the promise. There's only one way to come into covenant relationship with God. It's behind me on the back wall. If you haven't read it already, it says this: repent. Change the way that you've been living. Change the way that you've been thinking. He said, repent and then be baptized. Why? In what name? There's only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Can I just talk to somebody for a minute? I'm going to bring it down because I want somebody to get this. This isn't for the saint right now. This is for the sinner. Somebody that does not know this way. Somebody that has not experienced or activated their belief in God in the way that many have in this room. You must repent. Somebody say repent. You've got to think differently about the way that you've been living. You might not be in great deep sin, but sin is sin. And anything that is contrary to the word of God is sin. And we must repent. We must think differently about those things. Examine yourself. Ask the question, is what I'm doing, is how I'm living pleasing to God? And if the answer is no, then you need to find a place of repentance. A true, genuine place of repentance. Repentance is not just saying, God, I'm sorry. But repentance is saying, I'm done with the life that I've been living and I don't want to live it anymore. And then what is the next step? He says, repent and then be baptized, every one of you. Not some of you, as some Christians would say, but every one of you. And not in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because that's not a name. But there is a name that is attached to the Father. There is a name that is attached to the Son. And there is a name that is attached to the Holy Spirit. And that name is in this room today. And that name is Jesus. The Bible says that they were baptized in Jesus' name. On the day of Pentecost, all throughout the book of Acts, they were baptized in only one name. And that was the name of Jesus. If you don't understand that, come find me after this service. And I will talk to you about it. Because there's only one name. There's only one name that has power. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is not a name. They are titles. And if you've been wrestling with that today, I pray in this room right now that God would open up your eyes to understanding of who He is. Jesus is the Father. Jesus is the Son. And Jesus is the Holy Ghost. So He says, repent and be baptized. I'm preaching the gospel right now in the name of Jesus Christ. When you go down in the waters of baptism, every sin that you ever committed, when the name of Jesus is applied and the blood that was shed at Calvary is applied through baptism, everything that you've ever done is forgotten. It's erased. The sin that was put on you at birth from Adam and every failure in your own life is canceled out by the blood of Jesus in baptism. Because there's two sins. It's the sin of Adam, which is sin that you did not commit, but it was sin that was put on humanity. And it's the sin that you've committed. And when you go down in the waters, every sin is washed away. And then the Bible talks about this sea of forgetfulness, that you might remember what you've done. But God takes those things and He throws it away. He forgets. He erases it from His memory. And you are now a new creature in Christ Jesus. But is this all right? What does baptism signify, though? It signifies a burial. Because Jesus died, He was buried, but then He rose. Death, repentance, burial, baptism. But God doesn't want us to stay in the grave. And this is what I'm talking about today. That you might be buried in baptism. That means you're dead to the old man. But there's something that has to happen to give life to the new man. And I'll tell you what it is. The Bible says this, that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, it says it now quickens, means it brings life to your mortal body. So in other words, the Spirit of God is the thing that brings you to new life. So yes, you might repent. Yes, you might be baptized. But the process is not complete until you receive the Spirit of God. I might only be reaching for a couple right now, but that's all right. I'm going to reach. Because I feel God ministering to some people. I'm looking at some faces. And I feel God's given some understanding to some people in this room right now. The Holy Ghost is not just saying, God, I welcome you into my spirit, and that's it. There's evidence, initial evidence that has to happen. How do I know I had the Holy Ghost? How did I know when I received the Holy Ghost? March 10th of 2007. I knew I received the Holy Ghost almost 19 years ago because there was initial evidence that happened. Yes, as you go in your walk with God and as you continue on in your faith, there's going to be other things that show you have the Spirit of God. You're going to bear His fruit. You're going to look more like Christ. You're going to take on His nature and His character. But the initial evidence is this. And it's all throughout Scripture. And if you don't understand this, come talk to me. Come talk to pastor. Come talk to somebody and we will help you. We will show it to you. I'll spend all afternoon with you if I have to, because that's why I'm here. Because I'm here to, I really, that's why I feel like I'm here, especially this morning, because God wants to fill somebody with the Spirit of God. But it tells us all throughout Acts that when they received the Spirit, there was something that was accompanied with it. And that was they spoke in other tongues. It was not a language that they understood. It was not a language that they were taught. But it was just something as the Spirit, as it says, the Spirit of God gave utterance. Meaning the Spirit of God was literally speaking through them in another language. Is speaking in tongues the Holy Ghost? No. Speaking in tongues is evidence that you have received the Holy Ghost. I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to open up this altar because we're going to pray. You do not know when you plant a seed. I've said this. When you plant a seed, how do you know that the seed is there? You don't. You put the seed in, you cover the dirt. Say I'm planting five different fruits. Five different vegetables. I plant the seeds. How do I know what is what? How do I know that there's a seed there? Well, oftentimes in gardening, they put a little tag on it. And they stick it in the ground to indicate that there is something that is there. Is that the fruit?
No.
Is that the final process? No. But it is something to let the person know that there is a seed that has been planted in the soil. And that is really what speaking in tongues is, if I can say it like that. It's the evidence that you have received the seed in your soil. Is that the end? Is that the final process? Is that the fruit? Is that the reason why the seed is planted? No. But it is evidence that there is something that is there. And that is why God is not an author of confusion. And there's too many people that don't know if they have the Holy Ghost or not. Why? Because they have not experienced evidence. And mainstream Christianity is saying just welcome God into your heart and you receive the Spirit. Well, guess what? God is not an author of confusion. Because I have talked to many that do not know if they've received the Holy Ghost. Why? Because they've never had the evidence. And that is why God has accompanied the infilling of His Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. So that you would know that the Spirit of God has fallen and has filled your spirit. I want us all to come right now. If we can all come. Actually, if you need the Holy Ghost, I want you to come first and we're going to pray with you. If this is new to you, if this is not something that you understand, I want you to come right now. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, I want you to come. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. I'll stand here. I know this is uncomfortable, but I want you to come. Why don't the rest of us come? Why don't we make this a place that is comfortable for those that are unfamiliar with this? I know I brought it down way low and it became Bible study, but you know what? That's all right. What's your name, sister, in the yellow here? Do you have the Holy Ghost? Have you been baptized? She doesn't. God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost today. What's your name? Do you have the Holy Ghost? God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost today. I've seen you before. I know you're not a visitor. Do you believe that God can do it? God's going to do it for her. God's going to do it for you. If you want the Holy Ghost, God is here to do that today. But I want to go back to this last point, this main ingredient that I talked about. How did Abraham receive the blessing of God? Through faith. And that is the key for you today. In order to receive the blessing of God, you must have faith to believe. And what we're getting ready to do is God getting ready to move upon somebody in this room. And if you would just open up your mouth, remove all distraction, remove all fear, remove all doubt, and replace it with faith and say, God, this was a promise that you made to me. Come on, the Bible says it. The promise is unto you, to your children, and to your children's children, and to all of those that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God should call. If you are here today, God has called you, which means that the promise is for you, and God does not break a promise. So I would right now all across this room, every hand would be lifted. Why don't we create an atmosphere of faith for somebody and say, God, I know that your promise is here. God, I know that your spirit is here. God, I know right now that your spirit can fall in this room. Come on, I would that somebody would lift up their voices. God, I believe right now, Lord, that you can fill somebody with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come on, activate that faith. Come on, activate that faith. Come on, speak the word of faith. Come on, why don't you pray with somebody right now? Why don't you just grab somebody's hand and say, why don't we pray together? Come on, if you want the Holy Ghost, you've got to open up your mouth and begin to speak it. Come on, if you don't know what to pray, begin to call upon the name of Jesus. Come on, if you don't know what to say, just begin to thank Him. Oh, yes. Come on, God's moving on some people. But what you feel on the outside, God wants to put it on the inside. The spirit that you feel working around you, God wants to put it in you so that you can receive the promise of salvation. Come on, unless a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot see nor enter in to the kingdom of God.